Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Rebecca Gordon. Hello, Rebecca.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. We are appreciative of you being here. So for those who don't know, Rebecca is the executive director of Central and Northern Missouri's chapter for the American Red Cross. That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. It takes you a minute to kind of be able to get it to roll off your tongue.
But you
did pretty well there.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So the Red Cross offers a variety of services for the community. So why don't you share the mission of the organization, as well as some of the ways that we may encounter those services that the agency provides?
Absolutely. So the American Red Cross is known to people in a couple of different functions. We have two sides of our house.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is our humanitarian services.
Okay.
That's where I sit squarely every day. The other side is our blood collection and biomed services, which is a life-saving function of the American Red Cross. When I talk to people, I find that they've interacted with us in one of each of those ways. So it's not necessarily people are, oh, don't come take my blood.
Right.
No worries.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in times of disaster. And so our mission is, as a humanitarian organization, to serve people in their when they have their greatest need.
Okay. All right. Now, the Central and Northern chapter has three offices and a couple blood donation centers, correct?
We do. So okay. Central and Northern Missouri, that is covers all the way up to the Iowa border and all the way down to Fort Leonard Wood. And so I serve 27 counties throughout the central and northern part of the state of Missouri. We have an office here in Jefferson City. It's both humanitarian services and blood office.
Mm-hmm.
One in Columbia. We're getting ready to rebuild our office in Columbia. We're starting a big building project. And then we also have an office down in Fort Leonard Wood.
Okay. All right. And there is a blood donation center here in Jefferson City, and one, where's the other one at?
The other one's in Columbia.
Okay.
So those are fixed sites.
Okay.
But of course, we're doing blood drives every day
of
the week all over those 27 counties.
Yeah. So that is a huge geographic area. So obviously your staff is huge as well, right?
Oh, absolutely not. I'd love to tell our teams that 90% of our staff is a volunteer workforce.
Okay.
So here for these 27 counties, outside of our collection staff, because we do pay phlebotomists and that kind of thing, but humanitarian services, we have three full-time paid staff for those 27 counties.
Wow.
Little over 300 volunteers, though. So that's where our power really comes from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what does it take to be a volunteer?
It doesn't take much.
Okay.
Really, what's great about the Red Cross is that if you're interested, no matter what you're interested in, and you have a little bit of time, we have a place that you can come and be a part of our humanitarian mission.
Okay.
And so that could be anything from, you know, 2 hours a week helping check people in at a blood site or deploying to other places in the United States during times of disaster.
Okay.
So we have a broad range of opportunities. Or if you're interested in working with veterans, we have a lot of veterans opportunities for our volunteers.
Okay. So how does the Red Cross onboard volunteers?
It's changing a little bit. So
okay.
What you do is you raise your hand. You call 1-800-RED-CROSS, redcross.org, and you say, I'm interested in volunteering.
Okay.
And then the first thing that we do is just, we want to make sure that our people that we serve are safe. You go through a quick background check. Then you start to enter our system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a matter of, hi, Gary, how are you? You want to be a Red Cross volunteer? What are the things that you're interested in doing?
Okay.
And so then we connect you up with where your interests lie. And then our teams kind of wrap around you and you get plenty of training. And so people that go out for us, they've been fully trained to do the things that they do. And it's actually a pretty easy process.
Okay. All right. And I assume you're always looking for volunteers.
We are always looking for volunteers.
Okay. So you mentioned this earlier, this idea of deployment. So, and that makes me think of, obviously, recently there were some tornadoes that hit the St. Louis area. This chapter sent a contingent, including yourself, to help with disaster relief. So what did that look like?
We did. Well, let's back up in time just a little bit. It's been a very busy season. So starting on March 14th, and people may remember it was a Friday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like these storms have been rolling in on Fridays. It was incredibly windy. Yeah. And so immediately we started having wildfires. And so we were standing up looking at, do we need to evacuate certain areas? Southern Boone County had a wildfire that we were looking at opening up a shelter. The rain came through, knocked those fires down, and then of course dropped a tornado in Rolla, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And Rolla is in my chapter. Mm-hmm. And so we immediately got people opened up a shelter because half of town south of Rolla was hit. Mm-hmm. No power. So we got them taken care of that night. Then we started, and when I say deploy, I mean our own volunteers from this chapter mm-hmm. went to Rolla. We were there first thing in the morning on Saturday morning, making sure that our shelter was available, that we were working with local and state entities to begin looking at what that recovery looks like, mm-hmm. and then partnering with different agencies to make sure that the basics were there. Okay. So we were on the ground for about 2 weeks wow. in Rolla, making sure that everything was going okay, that we could start to recover in our communities. Mm-hmm. Same time, 2 weeks later, again, we had a tornado outbreak hitting Southeast Missouri and northern part of Arkansas, hit 20 counties. Mm-hmm. And so we immediately, now my chapter was not impacted except for in Pilot Grove, they had a small tornado. We okay. took care of that. But then I deployed out to Cape Girardeau to help my sister chapter down there recover mm-hmm. and begin that process. And so I spent a good week in Delta, Missouri, lovely river town right down there in right. the Boot Heel. And so we were good. We started to process that recovery and try to get back to normal. And then of course the May 16th tornado, which was devastating in St. Mm-hmm. Louis.
Right.
The Red Cross, we have anything from a 1 to a 7. Okay. So a single family home fire is a level 1, okay. a multifamily home fire is a level 2, and then they move up from there. So starting in March, we had a level 4, a few weeks later, a level 5, and then it culminated with St. Louis with a level 6.
Okay.
So we've been completely, and I deployed out and we sent a group of our team to deploy out to help those impacted.
Yeah. So what does that help look like? So let's talk, you choose whichever tornado you want to talk about.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about St. Louis. Yeah. So that was May 16th, again, a Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
We were paying attention here. We were getting weather reports that we're looking a little risky, pay attention. Mm-hmm. First thing I did in my chapter was reach out and say, okay, who's where?
Yeah.
Where are our assets? Let's pay attention. Where are my shelter teams?
Okay.
That tornado comes through. So immediately a call throughout Missouri and Arkansas. Mm-hmm. There's a call out to volunteers for immediately shelter workers. People okay. have been trained in sheltering.
Okay.
So my chapter gets a call and we have 4 teams here that are incredibly good mm-hmm. shelter teams.
Okay.
And they wanted to get on the ground in St. Louis and deploy. We unfortunately had to, for this chapter, had to hold them back for a few days because that following Sunday, Monday, we were again in a level 3 risk for tornado activity and bad storms.
Okay.
And so I held everybody steady. The moment that situation passed, we then started deploying out heavily. So it could be the first group was shelter workers.
Mm-hmm.
We had several hundred people in the St. Louis area in shelters. And when that happens, you need people who are trained to do so. I was deployed out to help our brand new executive director in St. Louis work on kind of the government and legislative affairs piece,
okay.
making sure that the communication from our partners and emergency departments all the way through our team were taken care of. And so we ended up having a couple hundred volunteers deploy from other parts of the United States to support us for that level 6 in St. Louis.
Wow. Wow. So at the shelter, so is that, I'm assuming they maybe found a school gymnasium, for instance, and that, and then the Red Cross comes in and sets up shop there?
We do. So yeah. the important part of all of this is the amount of preparedness work that we do beforehand.
Right.
So we know where our shelters are. We are looking for places that have plenty of space, mm-hmm. have some privacy. We want to make sure that the bathroom facilities, that there's plenty of bathroom facilities. And in some of our shelters, we want to make sure that there's showering capability
okay.
so that people can come in and shower. So when the tornado hit, we did have to find a few shelters in mm-hmm. the St. Louis area, but we knew what we needed to open immediately
okay.
and started doing that. And then it was a matter of partnering with the city to make sure we could get people who were impacted to safe locations.
Okay.
And so that's kind of how that starts. So when the tornado hit Rolla, I didn't have to call around.
Right.
I knew I had these shelters in the area these were impacted.
Mm-hmm.
These were not.
Okay.
And so those calls go out so we can set up immediately.
Okay. And the purpose of the shelter would be if someone's home were destroyed or damaged, they would have a place to basically congregate, be safe overnight.
Absolutely. It's a safe place for people to go.
Mm-hmm.
To give you an idea of scope between the first two, the level 4 and 5 disaster,
mm-hmm.
we had about 1,200 homes in those two early disasters, 1,200 mm-hmm. homes that were major or destroyed. I had a shelter that had about 18 residents when it was at a high capacity.
Yeah.
We could have handled more. To give you an idea, in St. Louis, we had 6,000 homes
wow.
that were major and destroyed. So the scope was just so much bigger.
Yeah.
And so we needed to have multiple shelters to be able to take care of people. It becomes a safety issue. As we know, once you get one big storm, we had a couple more storms rolling through mm-hmm. the next few days. So we want to get people in places that are safe. The other thing is that buildings in St. Louis that were impacted, they are structurally those old brick homes.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
incredibly sad to see. Mm-hmm. When you have high winds again, those can become very unstable.
Sure.
And so we know people want to protect their property and all of that, but we really want to get them safe. We also allow people to come in during the day at our shelter to be able to charge their phones,
mm-hmm.
Be able to get items that are needed, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so they are a congregate place where people come. And can stay for safety. And then when they're ready to begin recovering, we have teams that help them transition back to whatever that looks like
yeah.
In the short term and long term.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. Obviously, the crisis creates the need for the shelter. At what point do you transition to longer term care, right? Or longer term shelter before they can get to their permanent location?
So the American Red Cross, we tend to be the first behind law enforcement and fire, mm-hmm. the first on the scene. We are that immediate response to that kind of disaster. And when that happens, it can take a couple of weeks to get to the next step.
Yeah.
But it is incredibly important that we have caseworkers, health workers, different people in there that are volunteers to help begin the discussion of transition. As we're talking about that, as we're working with those folks, we have people coming in that are other partners that are looking at longer term solutions.
Okay.
So that can be a partner with SEMA. It can be a partner with housing authorities. And so that process starts. And so the idea is to identify the needs and start working on a transition plan. But it could be we have shelters open today.
Yeah.
So, and today's what, the 16th?
Yes.
So a month ago. And we still have people in our shelter. The yeah. idea isn't just to go, okay, well, the initial disaster is over, head on home.
Right.
We're there for the long term to get people transitioned.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, it strikes me, I mean, a lot of attention. Red Cross gets a lot of attention for its efforts during these natural disasters or large scale disasters. But I think sometimes folks miss the times that you're really active in the community. When it's a home fire, right? Or it's a very personal tragedy where Red Cross steps in and offers assistance.
Home fires are 90% of the work that we do. I get a report every day. Unfortunately, Missouri, if you look at the entirety of the United States American Red Cross,
mm-hmm.
Missouri comes in second as it relates to home fires.
Really?
Second. So we are responding every single day to home fires, multifamily fires. Unfortunately, we had recently a fatality. Those things are happening every day. And so our teams, our disaster action team members, these trained members
mm-hmm.
go out anytime, day or night. We partner with local fire departments to get those calls to make sure that we can provide immediately some assistance.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest response that we have.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So if you find yourself in need of Red Cross services, how does one reach out to you?
It is the easiest thing to do, no matter what is going on, no matter where you are in the country, no matter what disaster, whether it's mm-hmm. a home fire here, or if you're in St. Louis looking for assistance, calling 1-800-RED-CROSS gets you right to the person you need to be the quickest.
Okay. All right. And so flip side of that, if you want to help, right, if you have this urge to contribute, you value and you believe you have a role in helping, how does one reach out to volunteer?
So that, the easiest way on that one is to get online, go to redcross.org/volunteer.
Okay.
And that immediately gets you into the system. We like to make sure that the moment you sign up, that we know about you here locally. So yeah. you're going to get a call from the team that manages that, but you're going to get a call immediately from us here locally to make sure that we know exactly what you're interested in. Mm-hmm. We want you to know who we are. And the Red Cross that we've built here in my 27 counties, we're a little bit of a mad tag Red Cross club that wants to make sure that our communities are taken care of.
Yeah. Okay. You know, the other thing that I think of, Rebecca, is I've been through a few disaster situations there, I think, as all of us have. I think of the Jefferson City tornado as an example. And what always struck me was there's always an outpouring of support financially, right? It's not only just volunteering your time, but also financially, and how often folks are channeled to the Red Cross because they can be trusted as to how the money's going to be used. So kind of talk a little bit about how one might donate, and then the infrastructure that's in place to make sure that it's not, that it goes to where it's needed.
Absolutely. So the biggest, when people donate to the Red Cross, and you can do that through redcross.org, you can actually choose how you want your dollars to be spent.
Okay.
Right now, there is a campaign for Missouri and Kentucky because those are two responses. But the majority, the lion's share of money that's donated goes right back into those communities through direct assistance.
Okay.
And so if you're in a home fire and the Red Cross shows up, we're going to ask you a couple of things. One, how are you? Which is, you know, did you lose anybody, even a pet? We're there for those conversations.
Okay.
But then we're also going to say, you know, when you ran out of the house, did you forget your eyeglasses? Did you forget your prescriptions? Are you missing any medication that you need right away?
Okay.
So we immediately facilitate getting that taken care of. Then the next thing we do on the spot is we open a case and are able to hand that family immediate financial assistance based on the number of people in their household. It's not a lot of money, but it is money to get to stay the night somewhere, to buy clothes, and we don't put any parameters on it.
Yeah.
So it's, here is this money to do what you need to do to begin to recover. Same when we're looking at a disaster. We're in the process in St. Louis right now for those 6,000 major and destroyed, working to be able to get them some immediate assistance to help them begin the recovery. Mm-hmm. In some cases, because their power was out, they lost all their food.
Sure.
Well, that little bit of money to take that off of your worry list is a really big deal, as all of these other resources are coming in. So we are very careful about our donor dollar. We want to make sure that when it comes in, we're getting it back out to the clients that we serve.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned that there's a role that Red Cross fills for veterans and enlisted personnel. What exactly is that?
Absolutely. So we have two functions. We have our services to armed forces and then our international services. Our services to armed forces, we have that office down at Fort Leonard Wood. Mm-hmm. Our role is for people serving our armed forces, that if there is an issue, if they're abroad or there's some sort of issue, that we can actively support them through casework. Mm-hmm. Whether that's, you know, I have a stepson who is in Germany right now, captain in the Army. Him and his wife are pregnant. If that baby is born, mm-hmm. I would reach out to the Red Cross to be able to connect with other family members. Believe it or not, it tends to be a little faster. And I don't think people realize that we do that work. We also have a dental program down at Fort Leonard Wood for spouses of enlisted individuals. And that gives them, as they're going through this process, a skill set that can be transferred anywhere else. Wherever they're stationed, wherever they're posted, they can go in and be in the dental community and be able to support that. It's been incredibly successful.
Okay.
And then our international human law, which is really important, especially I think in these times when we have to talk about wars have rules and international humanitarian law and what the Geneva Convention says and how we treat people in war. That is where the Red Cross started. Is after the battle, it didn't matter who was on the battlefield, but how do we help those people? Mm. And so I find it something that kind of circles us back to our roots, and I'm very proud of the work we do.
Yeah. So obviously, anyone who's listening or watching this, you're clearly very passionate about the work that your agency does. So what drives that passion in you?
That is, I was asked that question a few weeks ago, and I had to think about it a little bit. And certainly the mission of the organization is just paramount to me. It does not matter who you are or where you come from. We're here to help. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. The thing that drives me really to go above and beyond, to put my life aside, to go help my my communities, is very much so that opportunity in that minute where somebody has just been through something. Mm-hmm. You can be there. And one of the most powerful things that I have found that keeps me going is being able to give somebody a hug. Mm. In that moment, when everything is kind of breaking down, I can wrap them up and say, okay, let's start with just this. And then we'll do the next thing next and the next thing that, you know, later. And I find that that is the part that drives me mm-hmm. passionately
sure.
for the mission. Because certainly we have disasters all the time. Whether it's those home fires or storms, hurricane season is getting mm-hmm. underway, all of those things, but it's being able to walk up and in that moment, be there for somebody.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rebecca, we appreciate the work you and Red Cross do for us, and thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.